the epistle that we have read for this funeral mass is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. Brethren, we will not have you ignorant concerning them that are asleep, that you be not sorrowful even as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so that them who have slept through Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you in the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, who remain unto the coming of the Lord, shall not prevent them who have slept. For the Lord himself shall come down from heaven with commandment, and with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead who are in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, shall be taken up together with them in the clouds to meet Christ into the air, and so shall we be always with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another. Comfort ye one another with these words. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. Continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. John, chapter 11, verses 21 through 27. At that time, Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother would not have died. But now also I know that whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give thee. Jesus saith to her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, although he be dead, shall live. And everyone that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believe? Do you believe this? She said to him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, who art come into this world. Thus far the words of today's epistle and holy gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death.
Amen. I am the resurrection and the life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, first I'd like to wish my condolences to the family, to John and Arlene siblings, Cecilia and Alvin, and Diane, Arlene's sister. I think it's a good time for us also to, as we pray for the repose of the soul of John and Arlene, to pray for those brothers who have passed, both of John's family and Arlene's family. As we consider death today, we are, as it were, forced to consider, as we are doing the funeral services for John and Arlene, let us remember all those who we know and loved and love. Let us remember them in our prayers and pray for the repose of their soul. I'd like to extend my condolences to Mark, Barbara, and Diane, John and Arlene's children, and their grandchildren, and all other family members and friends. It's a sad day for us. For us individually, because we've lost people who are good. As I had stated to, I think it was Mark when he walked into church today, heaven's gain is our loss. I feel this as the parish priest of St. Mary's, because John and Arlene were staples here. People who always showed up. The only Sundays that they missed was because of sickness. And that for good reason, and even that didn't keep them away. But there is a sermon here for us to listen to. It is a silent sermon. And it's a sublime sermon. It's the sermon of their life. First off, let us consider the world that we live in. And how so many people, just when they don't want to anymore, or a difficulty small come up, or maybe even a little bigger come up, they shirk the responsibilities and run away. John and Arlene didn't. Their life is a sermon of perseverance. 58 years of marriage. I'm sure not all of it was easy. No life is. This is a veil of tears. We have difficulties. If it's not the worries of bills or sickness, there's other concerns and conflicts that you have to work through. But they persevered. 58 years. Half a century. Over a half a century. Maybe in days of old, that wasn't uncommon. But in this day and age, that's very uncommon. They persevered. They made vows together, and they persevered in those vows to the end. I say a silent sermon because it was a silent sermon that they gave. I had the opportunity to have many conversations with them, and they didn't have much to say, but it was always a kind word or an encouragement, maybe a suggestion or two. But they were perseverant in who they were, what they believed, and what they did. I cannot tell you how many times I came to church on Sunday morning and that they were here in the pews, John getting ready to lead the rosary. Always lead the rosary. There was a consistency, another element of that sermon that they gave. They were consistent. They were consistent with each other. When you saw John, you knew Arlene was there. When you saw Arlene, hey, where's John? He's upstairs. Okay. They always came together. Always did things together. From the things that they did here at the church to their gardening at home is one of the things that they did together. They were consistent. Was it always like that? I don't know. It appears to be that way to me. I'm sure they had their struggles. We all do. But I couldn't tell. I could tell they were consistent with each other. And they were also consistent with their faith. As a spiritual father of a parish, that's one thing that I could point to them and say, they're people of faith. They believe. And when we read in the scripture today, of our Lord says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, although he be dead, shall live. And he who liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Our Lord is talking about spiritual life, eternal life. Did they believe? Oh, yes, they did. That's why we have every reason to have hope. Because faith follows hope, or because hope follows faith, I should say. Faith is the first of the theological virtues. Hope follows it. And what follows that? Love, or as we try to define it, not as the world defines it, because the world loves lots of things, right? They love chocolate, or they love this, or they love that, and they put love for very shallow reasons. But we're not talking about those type of loves or likes. We're talking about the love that comes from the heart and the soul. So we call it charity. Theological virtue, faith, hope, and charity. That was one of the sermons that they gave too. A love. Now here I'd like to pause for a moment and explain to those who are new to the traditional Catholic Church. We have done a ceremony today that has been done for centuries. And you may wonder why do we walk out in black vestments? Is it because we mourn? Yes, that's part of the reason, but not the whole reason. There's another reason, and that is Because we don't know. We're not, it's not our job to know where the soul, the souls of John and Arlene are, except that we know that they're in eternity. And so we're called to pray for them, to pray for the repose of their soul. Like it says in Scripture, it's a holy and wholesome thought to pray for the dead, that they might be released from their sins. And so we wear black, as if our eyes were covered. And we commend them to the Lord. And we don't let our grief and our sorrow on account of our loss be without purpose. No, we offer it as an oblation. As our sorrowful mother saw her son die on the cross and offered it to the Heavenly Father, so we too offer our loss. Because those of you who knew John and Arlene and were privileged to be in their inner circle, no doubt you experienced the love that existed there. I know I felt it. Like I said before, every time you saw John around, you saw Arlene. They would sit at after church downstairs. They would sit at the same table. Some of the most recent saddest things that I've heard was when John and Arlene wanted to come to church, but they couldn't. I think it was Diane who called me, Diana, or Diane. She called me and was telling me how they so wanted to come to church. That consistency. I remember telling her, you tell John and Arlene, don't worry about coming to church. Church will come to you. We'll bring our Lord to you. But the one thing that I think it's important for us to highlight today. We highlighted the faith and the hope that we should have and the hope that they had. The faith in the belief that they had and the belief that we should have. But I like to highlight the love or that charity that we see. Charity has one source, and that's God. If people think that they can get a love for their neighbor and a love for each other without God in the equation, they're fools to think so. John and Arlene knew this. And I believe that there's a lesson given to us today. I have never done a double funeral, ever. The good Lord has a way of tapping us on the shoulder and say, hey, pay attention. There's a lesson here. And what is that lesson for us? These two loved each other so much that when one died, one was soon to follow. And providence would have it that not one would be buried alone, but they both would be buried together. If that's not love beyond human reasoning, I don't know what is. I am privileged and honored to do this funeral. And I pray and hope that I, with you, will one day be a part of that love that binds them together forever and ever. Because that's beautiful. That's not of time. That's of eternity. And that can be ours if you want it. We can go by the way of the world and go after all the dead ends that are there, or we can persevere and go beyond ourselves to something that's greater. And then when our time comes to go from time to eternity, then we will have that hope that they have. And we will be embraced with that love that they're embraced with, which is divine. Eternal rest granted to them, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon them. May their souls and all the souls of the faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in peace. Amen.